Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Have you heard about this method to clear out closets? Most of us have too much stuff, so here's a method to clear out closets. My friend Kathy told me of this. She said, pull everything out of the closet, then examine each item and ask, does this bring me joy? Keep the items that bring me joy and put the rest in the pile for goodwill. Today, let me propose an exercise to clean out the closet of what we believe, what motivates us in our faith journey. As we grow and mature, the shape of our faith must change as well. For instance, there is the moment when we chose to join the church. For me, it was when I realized that I needed the church because my family group was not strong enough. I was hungry for the Word of God upon which I could build my life. Later, during college, the challenge was for me to actually believe in Jesus, to accept that believing in Jesus was an honest choice. So what was your moment? Why and when did you sign up to be a Christian? And has your faith changed along with your maturity? Think about that for a moment. Share it with your neighbor if you dare. So now the shape of my faith has changed again to fit an insight that I gained through the study of Galatians chapter 2. Let me share this process with you. But first, go back with me to elementary school and English grammar. Consider the humble preposition. You know, words like with, for, in, of. These bits of language that we use constantly, no problem. But they can be pesky prepositions. For instance, I could say the sentence, I saw a man in the woods, or I saw a man of the woods. Did you catch that pesky preposition? It makes a big difference to the meaning of the sentence, doesn't it? And this is so clear for us in English. Now, consider the problem we face with a certain preposition in the New Testament Greek. Biblical scholars tell us that in today's text, Galatians 2, 15 to 20, the Greek preposition can be translated either in or of. We can read, and this is what you read in King James Version and the New NRSV, we can read, a person is justified not by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Or, as you have in the Common English Bible, we can read, a person is justified not by the works of the law, but by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, let's walk through this again. And as we go, consider how this alternative reading changes our manner of being Jesus' disciples. Could this understanding liberate us from the worrying about having faith in Jesus and from our need to do Christian duty? Could this understanding energize our mission? We have all heard the charge to have faith in Jesus Christ. And we strive to do just that, willing ourselves to believe the gospel story while monitoring our behavior to be good Christians. But what would change if we understand that the gospel is the good news of Jesus' own faithfulness? Heard this way, the gospel is the story of Jesus' faithfulness to his own mission and how he carried this mission to the cross and validated this mission through the resurrection. So some familiar translations of the Bible hang on to the language that calls us to have faith in Jesus. So I'm delighted that you've chosen to put the Common English Bible in your pews to favor the translation, the faithfulness of Jesus. So let's listen again to that little bit in Galatians 2 using the reading that you have in the Common English Bible. We know that a person isn't made righteous by the works of the law, but rather through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in my body, I live by faith, indeed by the faithfulness of God's Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hooray. Jesus' faithfulness. Let's think about that for a moment. When we consider our own history of faithfulness, we know that human nature is full of failure to be faithful. And so we are sorry and we seek forgiveness for these failures. Yet Jesus was faithful in his humanity. He accomplished his mission to overcome the dominant systems of his day and inaugurate the kingdom of God. Jesus' own disciples had trouble with this concept, as we heard from Mark's gospel. Jesus knew that being faithful to his mission would take him to the cross and beyond. And so as he was explaining his mission to his disciples, they could not comprehend what he was saying. They said, "You are the Messiah. You will restore the glory of Israel. You cannot die at the hands of the Romans. You must live. Are you crazy?" Peter went so far as to have a private conversation with Jesus to show Jesus that Jesus was wrong and to convince him to quit talking like that. Jesus' response? He was angry. He called Peter the Satan and told him to straighten out. Heavy stuff. But then Jesus explained. He explained that his own mission was a model for his followers. He was faithful to his call to spend his life for the sake of the coming kingdom. And in so doing, he provided the way for his followers to change the world. Likewise, he said, spend your life in service to Jesus' mission, and you will find a whole new world to cherish. Spend your life in working for the kingdom, and you will save your life. Hoard your life by seeking security in this world's systems, and you will lose your life. That's the nub of this fresh reading of today's scriptures. When we see that we are saved or made righteous or justified, whatever term you want, by the faithfulness of Jesus and not by our own anxious efforts to have faith in Jesus, then we have confidence that our lives have meaning and purpose here and now. Everything we do as followers of Jesus Christ is worthwhile, whether worshiping together or creating beauty, or doing service, or stirring up justice. Together, we follow after our faithful leader, Jesus the Christ, whose victory over death and destruction energizes us with confidence and power as we practice the kingdom of God coming here on earth. Sure, following Jesus this way is risky. The powers that be may resist us, interfere with our work, stifle our outreach, even seek to silence our voices. But if we hold back, we might as well sing with Peggy Lee, "Is that all there is, my friends? Then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is." So, look around this congregation today. You're small in numbers today, but you do have practices of presenting the kingdom of God in your community. What are some of the things that you have been doing around here? I see in your bulletin there is a food pantry. What else is this congregation doing for doing mission in this area? Speak it up. I can't hear you, but that's okay. I love the fact that you've got this art center here now. And that's an important part of being a resource for this community. So we offer service to the community. We participate in advocacy in some way. We participate in mission. Now, these activities support the kingdom of God. But I got to ask, which ones give you joy? Which ones load you down with painful duty? Think about it. Here's my story. I retired from public school teaching 30 years ago and have spent most of my time since then doing advocacy work. I have been active in supporting public transit and public access to Buffalo's waterfront. I do this work through civic groups primarily. But there was always a question. Why did I do all this? What kept Gladys running? What's the source of her joy? I sort of knew what it was, a sense of Christian obligation and duty, because I had faith in Jesus. But now, since I dropped that old shirt from my faith closet, you know, the one that nags at me to have faith in Jesus, I feel free and liberated. The new shirt fits better and allows me to stand up straighter and look the powers that be in the eye and say, "You cannot hurt me, for I count on Jesus. His faithfulness has blazed the way through death and resurrection. His kingdom will come, so either cooperate or get out of the way." Here's one example. In Buffalo, we have this organization known as Voice Buffalo. All right, here's the t-shirt. Let's put it over. There it goes. All right. Here in this multi-faith and ecumenical group, I am developing real relationships with the African-American community in Buffalo. As we support actions and take stands to seek justice together, we walk in the path opened up by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, and we powerfully affirm, yes, this is life worth living. So now, by the power of the Spirit, let us say with Paul, "Alleluia, alleluia. We have been crucified with Christ, and the life that we now live in our bodies, we live by the faithfulness of God's Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. Come, let's clear out the old and tired garment of duty from our faith closet. Let's learn of Jesus, whose risky faithfulness gives us confidence and power and brings us joy. Amen."